your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 1. I want to begin a series that I'm going to do for 4 weeks in December on Christmas. And I'm simply calling it the Christmas songs, or the songs of Christmas. If you look in Luke's gospel, he has the most extensive history of the birth of Jesus and all these little stories and events that happened surrounding the birth of Jesus. And there are four particular episodes, I'll say, that happen that are very important. And they are all praises unto God given either by individuals or, in one case, by a group of angels. Okay? Four different episodes here where people give praise unto God. And the way Luke writes it, it's a spontaneous, spirit-filled praise unto God that is given for the birth of Jesus. Happens first by Zacharias, a man I'm going to talk about today. The second happens from Mary. Mary herself, when she finds out she's going to be the mother of the Lord and Savior, she has this beautiful praise unto God. The third is with the shepherds in the field when the angels appear and they sing this beautiful song. And then the final one is by an old man in the temple who dedicates Jesus, and his name is Simeon. Each of these have a rich history in the church. There's a Latin phrase that's taken from the first sentence of each of these in the Latin Vulgate Bible that's been known for years and years, and they were sung every day all over the world, and they're prayed every day, these things are. Zacharias's is the Benedictus, and Mary's is the Magnificat, and the angels is the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, and Simeon's is the Nunc Dimittis. They're all prayed or sung around the world the year over. So I want us to look at these songs, as I'm going to call them, of Christmas, because each of those speaks something profound and something in depth and something revelatory about the coming of Jesus to earth himself. Can we say amen? So let's begin with verse 67 of chapter 1. I'm going to read this whole thing, all right? Now, his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child," talking now about his son, which was John the Baptist, "will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Can everyone say amen? This is the song of Zacharias. This is the song of Zacharias. Michael Milton said, "Socrates taught for 40 years, but his life and teaching have made no songs. Plato taught for 50 years, but he did nothing to cause the human soul to blossom with life. Yet Jesus came and lived for only 33 years on this earth, and he taught only 3 years, and his teaching, as well as his person, his promises, and his power, have inspired the souls of Raphael, Michelangelo, and Leonardo da Vinci to paint glorious scenes, the hearts of Dante and Milton and Donne to erupt in poetic verse, and the songs, the greatest songs of the ages, came from those whose lives were touched by Christ. Haydn and Handel and Bach and Mendelssohn and on and on. All these men composed to the praise of Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is said that Jesus Christ changed Mendelssohn's music from a minor to a major." This is the picture of what happened to Zacharias. The music of the Lord invaded his soul. It is the music of wonder with the joy of freedom when the Word of God comes with power to announce the salvation is at hand. Isn't that beautiful? We all could sing the song of Zacharias today because we all have been set free. How many of you can lift your hand and say, I'm a set free person, Pastor Hans? I see in this passage three different things, three different truths that we learn about Christmas. The first is, there's a salvation theme here, and it speaks to me that Jesus saves. Secondly, there's a prophetic edge to this, which speaks to me that God keeps His promises. And then finally, there's a transformative part of this passage, which speaks to me that Jesus changes everything. So let's jump in at number one and let's start parsing this. First of all, Jesus saves. Can you say it with me? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. The passage says in verse 68, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for He has redeemed His people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. Think about the setting. Zacharias is an elderly priest. His wife is an elderly lady named Elizabeth. They have prayed for years to have children, but they couldn't have any kids. Now they're beyond the age of childbearing. And Zacharias' name is chosen by Lot to minister at a certain festival and go into the temple of God as a priest and do his duties. His duty this day was to go into the altar of incense and make sure the incense were fresh on the altar so that they would always be on fire and steaming and all that. And some scholars say that there were possibly as many as 18,000 priests in this day. And so for Zacharias to be chosen for this duty this day was maybe a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so he goes in this day, this possibly once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. His family and friends are out front because they're like cheering him on. He's the man today. And he goes into the temple, and something amazing happens. And that is, standing next to the altar of incense is the angel Gabriel. I mean, could you imagine walking in to do your duty? You came to clean the church one day. It's your one day you're going to volunteer for the church, and you get here, and here stands the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel says to him, Gabriel says, hey, Zacharias, your prayers have been answered. Your wife's going to be pregnant. You're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. And the first thing Zacharias did was he spoke in doubt back. He said, what? How can this be, Lord? It can't be. I'm too old. My wife's too old. This is an impossibility. And the angel said in so many words, okay, because you're such a doubter, I'm going to shut up your mouth until the son is born. And he made him mute. And so he comes out of the temple that day, and all of his friends and families are waiting on him, and he's like, he's seen an angel, he can't speak, he's in shock about what happened, and everyone knew something was going on. Fast forward 9 months. Elizabeth's been pregnant, she's giving birth, she gave birth to a son. And all the family came and said, Zacharias, you've had a son, and what are you going to name him? I mean, you have to follow tradition. You should name him Zacharias, right? And he says, he motions for something to write on, and they bring him some writing utensils, and he writes down John. And they were all shocked, and soon as he wrote down John, the Bible says his tongue was loosed. He was able to speak, and Luke says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he immediately began to praise God. This is what comes off his tongue. His mouth is loose. Bless be the God of Israel. Blessed be the God of Israel. Immediately erupts into this beautiful praise. Why? He was a man set free. He was a doubter who's now a believer. He was an impotent, they were an impotent couple who's now a fertile couple. They've seen God do a miracle and his heart's exploding with joy over it. First characteristic of this praise I see is that it mentions salvation. That this boy who's going to be born to the cousins is going to be the Savior of the world. He has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant. Two terms here I see that are unique. First is redeemed, and the second is horn of salvation. The term redeemed simply means to be bought with a price here. That our salvation has been granted to us and gifted to us, but it didn't come without a price. Jesus himself had to lay down his life. As Jonathan Edwards said, he became both the purchaser and the price altogether. He became both the purchaser and the price. The price was his blood being shed for us. And he's the one who went and won salvation for us. And now salvation becomes more than just, Pastor, I have my ticket stamped for heaven and I'm on my way to glory. Now it becomes, no, I've been bought with a price. Heaven is part of it, but I'm now, right now in this life, considered part of the redeemed. Part of those who have been bought with a price. I'm part of the family of God. Can someone lift your hand and say, thank God, I've been redeemed. And then the second part is, he said he's raised up a horn of salvation for the nation of Israel. This term horn of salvation refers to the word here used in original language in the Old Testament Greek translation referred to the Messiah. It was used three different times that he would be called the horn of salvation. But not only that, Psalm 92 goes one step further and talks about the horn as relating to boldness and a fearlessness. David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil and I shall be as the wild ox. Or King James translates it as unicorn, interestingly enough. Though there is no such thing as a unicorn, but it's like a wild ox. Something bold, something fearless. So not only is our salvation about being purchased with a price, being born again, but our salvation is also about God coming in the here and now and giving us hope where we didn't formerly have any hope. And making us fearless now in the face of our foes and in the face of life's circumstances. Can you lift your hand one more time and say, thank God, he's made me fearless. You see, if you look at the Greek and Roman gods in their mythology, they have the Greek gods kind of reigned above all of humankind. And then they would only enter into affairs with humanity if they wanted to dole out a few lightning bolts or mess with the affairs of man. But they basically stayed on their mountain away from everybody. However, the God of the Bible did not do that. The God of the Bible created us all, but he didn't, as the deists believe, spin us off into existence and then completely remove himself. But the God of the Bible came into the mix with humanity. He stepped into the box with us. God became man. Man became, he became flesh. He took on himself the form of a servant. He got into the mix with people, purchased our redemption, gave us a fearlessness, bought us back with a price, and showed us the way to heaven. I don't know about you, but somebody better shout hallelujah about right now. Amen. Somebody say it. Jesus saves. So the second part of this, Zechariah says in verse 70, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who had been since the world began, and then in verse 72, and he performed the mercy promised to our fathers and the oath he swore to our father Abraham. And so here he moves on to linking the coming of Jesus to the history of Israel, that there have been prophets who have prophesied that this day would come for centuries. Not only that, we go back all the way to the book of Genesis, to the life of Abraham himself. I've preached on this verse many times, and if you don't know it by now, you should. Or if you hang around here for a while, you will know it. It's one of the greatest mission verses in the entire Bible, and it's in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. God came to Abraham and said, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed. So from the beginning, God had a plan not only to preserve a nation called the Jews for himself. He had a plan to use that nation as a prototype of what it looks like to serve God so that he could go beyond them to reach every person on planet Earth. Thank God he did that. He preserved, he kept all the promises. He fulfilled the prophetic words. Some scholars say there are up to 300 Old Testament prophecies that are fulfilled in Jesus himself. So not only does Jesus save, I'm going to say it like this, God keeps his word. Come on, Jesus is one of the greatest apologetics tools we have. His birth, the fulfillment of prophecy in the Old Testament, it's proof positive that God fulfills his word and God keeps his promises. Now, if he did that, if he was so meticulous to work through millennia to keep a people for himself, to keep promises that he had spoken, how much more will he do for you and I who are in the new covenant, who are walking under the blessing and anointing of Jesus, under his blood, sanctified by the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, given gifts, hallelujah, from the other side, hallelujah. How much more will God keep his word to you and I? Come on, give me a wave out there if you have life and you're ambulatory. Come on, how much more will he keep his word? How many words has he spoken over my life that I'm believing he's going to fulfill and he's going to bring to pass? He doesn't let words just go carelessly off his lips, but he fulfills every word that he sends out. Well,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All I need is Jackie here and we'd be ready to roll, right? On the Hammond organ. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Lift both hands and say, thank God he keeps his word to me. Come on, shout it out. Jesus saves. God keeps his word. And the final piece of this is, I'm just going to say it this way, Jesus changes everything. It's on our billboard out here. It's a common phrase in our church. Jesus changes everything. Notice the Bible says in verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God with which the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet in the way of peace. The term day spring is translated as day star in some translations. One scholar said it literally means a dawning from on high, or the New Revised Standard says, the dawn from on high. So basically the idea is the coming of this child, the coming of the Messiah, is like the dawn, like when the sun rises in the morning. Now you think about it. What happens when the sun rises in the morning? Every other light in the city becomes unnecessary. All of the little street lights that we had to guide us along the way, they become unnecessary when the sun rises. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we walk in darkness. We stumble through our houses when we have no lights on. We stub our toes on the end tables and all that. Then the sun rises, we open the shades, and you see everything, even the tables you didn't get to dust last week. It all appears. This is what happens when light comes into darkness. Everything changes. Jesus changes everything. He comes into a dark, blackened heart and he washes it with his red blood and it becomes white as the driven snow. He comes into a sinful person bound by addictions and he brings light into their soul and he baptizes them in his love and his goodness and the shackles of that addiction fall off their lives and they come out a set free person. Hallelujah. He comes into an angry, vengeful person who has all these regrets piled up in their hearts, and he opens the door by his love and sets them completely free to where now they become a minister of his love and his grace and his mercy. He even takes long-tongued gossips and he saves them. And he turns them into preachers and teachers and praying saints and loving people. Come on, somebody in here has been touched by that same love like I have. And there's some of you who he's come into your heart and changed everything. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, through the years, some of y'all came. Yeah, listen, we all came from the same place. We all came out of sin. None of us came in here perfect. I've had, you know, through the years here at Fountain of Life, we've had so many people come and get saved. And I remember on a few occasions, some people have come into our church, and some others from the church have come up to me and said, "Pastor, oh my gosh, I thought the roof was going to cave in when I saw them come in today. I never thought I'd see them in church." Or another couple came in, and people came and said, do you know who they are? Man, they do drugs, and they're parties, and they, yeah. Guess what? They got saved. They got filled with the Holy Ghost. They started working. I'm not giving out names here. You just guess. Hallelujah. But you can look left and right and see some of those people right now. Right now. Amen. I am one of those people right now. Been changed, been sanctified, been set. Jesus changes everything. He's not an addition to your life. Just something else I'm going to add. I'm going to do a yoga class. I'm going to go to church. Thank you. No, he's not that. He demands full attention. He demands life change. He demands that everything turns around. Chris, you're going to have to come up here and help me, man. I feel like we're going to have church in here this morning. Come on, because I know some people have been changed. You've had some life change happen. And now Christmas isn't just about candy and opening gifts. Christmas is about the greatest gift that God has ever given this earth. And that was your salvation. And that was your way out. Can somebody shout amen? Shout it with me. Jesus saves. God keeps his promises. And Jesus changes everything. Now let's go one step further, and I'm going to give you a bonus here. Kind of like a bonus track. You know, when you used to get the 8-track, you had a bonus track. Because you paid the full price for it. Hallelujah. There's a bonus happening here that I want you to notice. The first verse of this passage I read says, "And Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit." And then he opened his mouth and had this beautiful song pouring out of him. And notice this, when Mary had the visit from the angel, and the angel said, "You're going to conceive, though you've never known a man, and bear a child." And she said, "How's this going to be?" He said, "The Holy Spirit is going to come and overshadow you." Then, when he's dedicated, he's circumcised at 8 days old. They bring him into the temple. There's an old man there named Simeon who's been waiting for this his entire life. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit came on Simeon. And he spoke a praise unto God. And then everybody's getting touched by the Holy Spirit. And it's so powerful that Mary makes a trip to see Elizabeth, her cousin. And she shows up, and Mary's pregnant with Jesus, and Elizabeth's pregnant with John the Baptist. And the Bible says when Mary walked into the room, there's so much anointing. There's so much anointing that John the Baptist leaps. He does a little shout in the womb of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, when Jesus comes, he opens the door for the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the works of the Spirit and all that God wants to do. So when you got saved and you opened the door of your heart to Jesus, it wasn't to just check the box, now I'm saved and I'm good to go. No. It opened the door to another realm of existence. You opened the door to the heavenly gift. You opened the door to miracles. You opened the door to possibilities. You opened the door to healing, to turnarounds. Come on. You opened the door to so much more because now you've welcomed in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Can somebody shout amen? Come on, I think some of y'all already there. How many know we need the Holy Spirit in our lives today, man? And the Bible characters are perfect examples of people who are filled with the Spirit, spoke spontaneously by the Spirit. You know, I got into a lot of research this week on this and read liberal scholars, and some believe that, you know, there's ancient verses here being placed into the mouth of these characters by Luke himself. It's more of a liberal way of looking at it, but I don't look at it like that. I think Luke understood the presence of the Holy Spirit because Luke authored another book that was a sequel to this one, and that's called the Book of Acts. He was the author of both Luke and Acts, and he looked for evidences of the Spirit, and they're all through, rife throughout his works. And so I think Luke knew that when these people had these praises come on their lips, sure, maybe some of it contained verses in the ancient Jewish text that they knew, sure, but it was spontaneous, and it was by the presence of the Holy Spirit erupting in their hearts and giving praise to God. Now let me ask you this, if you've been a heart set free, how many times have you encountered a situation? You were up against a wall. You had a difficult situation come along, and you could do nothing else but worship. You could do nothing else but lift your voice and say, God, I'm here, and you're going to have to show up. I was in a position like this recently where I got off by myself, and I said, God, if you don't show up, I'm sunk here. I need some help right now. Hallelujah. And you know what? Well, you can go to a bathroom at work. You can go out to your car during lunch hour. You can go down the aisle of Walmart, and you can just say, God, I need some help right now. Holy Ghost, come and give me a song right now that's a song of my deliverance to get my way out of it. I remember Paul and Silas along about the midnight hour in the inner court with their hands and feet in stocks. About midnight, they began to pray and sing a praise unto God. And God sent an earthquake that busted every prison door, busted the shackles off their hands and feet. And they came out, and everyone was set free by the songs of praise. I remember the story of Jonah, when Jonah's in the belly of the whale and he goes all the way down into the depths of the sea, and he says, I will pay my vow, O God, meaning I will come back. And when I get back to the temple, you better believe I'm going to give God some praise. I'm going to worship, and there's going to be a song of deliverance in my heart. Come on, stand with me. I didn't plan to preach like this, but we're doing it anyhow. 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat's army surrounded, totally outnumbered. They don't know what to do, so they have a prayer meeting. They fast and pray. In the middle of that meeting, the Holy Ghost comes and touches a man named Jehaziel. Jehaziel stands up and says, don't be afraid by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the battle is God. And so Jehoshaphat set his armies in battle array, and he said, bring me the worship singers. And he brought the worship team and placed them on the front lines, and they went into battle praising God in the beauty of holiness, just worshiping Him. They had a song of deliverance in their heart. And as they went into battle, God confused the enemies. They didn't have to pull a sword out. They didn't have to fire a bow. They came to the battlefield and found that the enemy was gone and all the spoils of war were left there. I don't know about you, but I have some things I just need to praise Him for this morning. Morning in advance of my victory. Can you lift your hands and start giving Him your best praise right now? Come on, you do better for that than your football team. Come on, let's stir it up and give Him a high praise in here. Give Him a shout. Come on. Come on, 60 more seconds. Come on, let the fruit of your lips give Him praise this morning. Come on, 60 more seconds. Lord, we bless you. Come on, Axel. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Oh, he had to work. Hallelujah. Come on, 60 more seconds. We can give Him praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we give you praise, we give you praise. Lord, we give you praise, we give you praise. Come on, I want all the altar workers to join me right now. All the altar workers. I'm going to do something different today. You know, I woke up this week, I'd been studying and looking into this text, and I woke up this week, and I woke up one morning, this is unusual, and I immediately saw the altar call for today. And I knew what I needed to do today, and that is to give an altar call for people to be filled with the Spirit. Come on, every one of you should be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command. Paul said, don't be drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's a command to us to be filled with the Spirit. You say, well, Pastor Hans, I don't need that to go to heaven. No, you need Jesus to get to heaven. But while you're here on earth, He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to be overcomers while we're here on earth. Amen? And there's something happens, man, when you're filled with the Spirit. It takes you to another level of worship, another level of ministry, another level of intimacy with God. Hallelujah. And you say, yeah, but I'm not holy enough to be filled with the Spirit. Well, have you accepted the Lord as your Savior? If you have, how many have done that? Let me see your hand. You've accepted the Lord as your Savior all over this. Okay, then you're holy enough to go to heaven. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you're holy enough to go to heaven, then surely enough you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right here today. I'm talking right here today. Hallelujah, right here today. Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing, God loves you and He has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray. And you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us. And we love you dearly. And go follow God and go into the destiny that He has for your life.